Every year I come here during the Ben HaSemester, and I'm just amazed to see Bacharim, Yungalite, that work very, very hard during this month, and perhaps would want a little time off to come and spend their time off here in the Beis Medrash. It's such an amazing, amazing thing to see. Baruch Hashem. What I'm about to speak to you tonight about, I think, is very important. And it's very important for every bachar that's contemplating marriage. It's important for every bachar that's about to become a yungaman, a married man. And it's very important as well for married couples or married men to hear what we're going to speak about tonight. I also want to add that what will be spoken tonight, I'm not casting aspersions upon anyone or any relationship as to why those specific relationships do not work out. However, these are my own ha'aros, my own insights as to what I feel is very problematic in today's society. We know that Avraham Avinu had a very difficult procedure, the Bris Milah. And the Torah is made, the Torah tells us that the third day, the most difficult of days after recuperating from such a procedure, Avraham Avinu wanted to be mekayim, fulfill the mitzvah of haknasas orchim. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other ideas, and says Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that today would be a day where no one would want to come outside because of a terrible heat wave. Not to deter Avraham Avinu, says the Gemara, that Avraham Avinu sent out his trusted Mishares Eliezer to find Orchim. Eliezer comes back to his master Avram and says, "My dear Avram, I couldn't find anyone." Says the Gemara, Avram Avinu turns to Eliezer and says, "Lo Mahamna, I don't believe you. It's impossible that you couldn't find anyone," and instead Avram Avinu went to find them himself. Asks the Mefarshim, what does that mean that Avraham Avinu did not trust Eliezer? We know that the Torah tells us, Va'avram zokein bo bayomim. And Avraham was getting older, Va'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol, and Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. Va'yomer Avraham el avdo zekan beiso, and Avraham told this Mishares, the one that was Hamoshel b'chol asher lo, the one that was in control of everything, go and promise me that you're going to find a suitable mate for my son Yitzchak. The Torah is made, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu entrusted Eliezer with everything. He was Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. And the greatest edus that Avram entrusted Eliezer is that he said, go find a mate for my son. Who would give this shlichus to someone that wasn't trusted? If Avram Avinu did not trust Eliezer, then why would he not have done this himself? Why is it in one situation he says, I don't trust you, but perhaps in the time and place and situation where he should not trust him, he entrusts Eliezer and brings him aboard and says, I need you to come and find a wife. I believe we learn a very valuable lesson. And that is, when a person is in the parsha of Shiduchim, he can't do it alone. He has to come and bring people into the process. He can't rely upon his own instincts, his own judgment. He can't assume that he has all the answers. Avram Avinu understood that he has his own ideas as to what is needed for Yitzchak. But maybe those ideas aren't correct. Maybe I need a little bit help. Maybe I'm nogea b'davar. I'm biased. I don't see that my child has or lacking certain things. Maybe I envision that he's supposed to be with wife A, but really he needs to be with wife B. And therefore, where one would have thought that he would have done this himself to find a mate, a suitable mate for Yitzchak that would forever change the course of history for Klal Yisrael. It was at that time, I believe, where Avram brought Eliezer and said, I need your help to find a wife. Because of Negios. Because everyone has their ideas. And perhaps those ideas are not rooted in MS, in truth. And therefore, I need someone to run these ideas off. A sounding board. Perhaps it's a parent. Perhaps it's a friend. Perhaps it's a therapist. Personally, I feel it should be a Rebbe. But it has to be someone that each of you go to and ask Eitzah, Shoel Eitzah. Ask, who am I? What do I need? What should I be looking for? What am I lacking? What do I need to help me grow to be a better person? What? How? Where? Who? Those are the questions that have to be asked to someone. I can't rely upon my instinct. Now that's referring to someone specifically who hasn't found his mate yet. But the negios and the thoughts, my own personal ideas that perhaps aren't rooted in reality, don't stop once I find my mate. The negios exist even after marriage. And unlike the negios before marriage that have very little consequence, if I find a mate and I get engaged and I don't like her, she doesn't like me, we break it off in Shalom Ali Yisrael. But the stakes are so much higher and so much greater. If I get married and I set up my bias, and now for whatever reason I decide, because of my own thoughts, I don't really like her. She's not for me. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, Parshas Bahaloscha, V'ho'asafsuf asher b'kirbo hisavu ta'ava, that the Erev Rav, says Rashi, the rebel rousers that were in the midst of Klal Yisrael, they had desires. V'yashuvu v'yivku, Vayomru, and they, along with all of Bnei Yisrael, asked and cried and screamed, and they proclaimed, Mi Yachilenu Basar, who's going to feed us meat? What about the meat? She's not serving me meat. She's not giving me what I need, what I deserve. She's not a good cook. We ate by our friend's house for Shabbos. And that person's wife was a delicious cook. My wife, she doesn't make anything for me. My friend, my chavrusa, he comes in the next morning and he tells me about the three-course meal that his wife served. My wife, I come home, and she's on the couch with the iPad watching the reruns of the 1980 shows. This is my life? This is who's going to take me to the promised land? This is the woman who's going to raise my children? This is what I got myself into. She's not so religious. I'm much more frum than she is. And then, says the Torah, Zocharnu es hadaga. We remember the dog, the fish, asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish that we ate when we were in Mitzrayim. We start remembering the good old times when we were single, when we were bochrim, and we had all of the ladies lined up with all their resumes. And for every seven girls, there's one guy. And I have my pick to whomever I want. And I start remembering about the good old days when I didn't have the worries of this woman who's either nagging me, annoying me, or not giving me my dinner, not telling me how great I am. And I start remembering the good old days of Egypt. And I remember all of the delicious delicacies that I had eaten in Egypt. The kishuyim, and the avtichim, and the chotzir, and the bitzolim, and the shumim. This is all, says Chazal, they're negios. There was a pretext. This is not real, says Rashi. What are we going to eat? They didn't have basar. Or did they really eat fish in Mitzrayim? Was it really bechinam? It's all fake. It's all dimyonos. It's imagination. For some reason, I've gotten into my head that she's not my bashert. And therefore, I'm willing to destroy and get rid of everything. For negios. For narishkeit. Things that don't exist. All it is chinam. Umahu omer chinam. It's chinam min hamitzvos. It's to be free from responsibility. I don't want to have the yoke of this any longer, and I'm going to make up these ideas to justify my behavior. How does this happen? And this can happen to anyone. Why is it? How is it possible that our negios, that our dimyonos, our imagination gets the best of us? Why do we start thinking these ideas and these thoughts? Because we live in a society that espouses taking. From the time that we were in grade school, thinking about what high school we're going to go to, the high schools are fighting for us. And they put a full court press because they want us. And then once we're there, they have to make us happy. And again, catering to us. And then we're about to graduate high school. And now the yeshivos start making the rounds. And again, they're fighting for our services. They want us. And they start making promises. And they tell us what they're willing to give us, what they're going to do for us. And then we spend 2 years, and then we come back, and now we're in the parsha of Shiduchim. And now, we have, as I mentioned before, a list of resumes. And we start taking one by one. Nah, nah, nah. This one seems interesting. Let's put it aside for a minute. We're takers. And we have this impression, this idea that magia li, that no one's good enough for me. I deserve better. I deserve more. And when I see that she's not bowing down like the high schools and the yeshivos and the resumes, and our parents telling us how great we are always, it's like a culture shock. This is not just for me. It's not just about taking. What's in it for me? That is not a Torah value. The koach hanetila, just to be a taker, is not the Torah way. Reb Dessler writes, koach hanesina, the power of giving, hu koach elyon mimidas yotzer kakol baruch hu, the ability to give, is the koach ha'elyon. It's one of the attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with. Shehu merachem u'meitiv, he's compassionate and he gives. V'nosein mibli lekabel dover b'tmura, he gives unconditionally without expecting anything in return. Says Reb Dessler, v'kacha asa es ha'adam, and that's what the Torah means, B'tzelem Elokim Asa Es HaAdam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man in the image of God. Just as God is a native, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one that gives, he gave us the ability to give. And Reb Tauber, in his Pirkei Machshava, continues, and he says, She'echad habituyim, that one of the expressions of Tzelem Elokim is the koach hanesina, is the ability to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara es ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world only to give, and to give, and to give. He doesn't need anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't need us. But why does he give us? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nosei. But unfortunately, we've had this societal norm of taking infiltrate our essence, our being, and we no longer are Tzelem Elokim. But rather, we're notel. We're notelim. We're taking. We're not nosei. And we've lost our way. Olam Chesed Yibone. One reason is to rid ourselves of that narishkeit, those negios, is to emulate the attributes of Hashem. Is to realize that it's not about taking. What is she giving to me? But it's incumbent upon me to say, what am I going to give to her? What am I doing for her? Is she happy? Is she satisfied? Is she exhausted? Perhaps I should get up with the baby tonight. I could honestly be made, and I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, I promise I'm not that type. I can say this with 100% certainty right now. You can ask my wife. Never once have I ever said to my wife, "It's your turn." Not once. It's not your turn to change the diaper, and it's not your turn to give the baby a bath, and it's not your turn to get up with the baby at night. Because we emulate the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up with us at night and changes our diapers and gives us food to eat and has many sleepless nights over us and thinking about us and pondering us, it's our job to tap into that Tzelem Elokim and to only give. Never to ask, not one iota in return. And if we do this, if we are mekayim the Tzelem Elokim within us, that is the only way that we can be mekayim kol haTorah kula, the entire Torah. Rabbi Talber continues and he writes, in his Sefer Pirkei Machshava, the many Talmidim, the many students, come to him and ask him Eitzah, ask him advice before marriage. And they say, "Rebbe, what's our kavana that we're supposed to have under the chuppah? When we eat Matzah on Pesach, we recite the Hinnani Muchun Mezumen Lekayim Mitzvos Aseh. What's the Hinnani Muchun Mezumen Lekayim Mitzvos Aseh that we're supposed to be thinking under the chuppah?" Rabbi Talber tells his Talmidim that under that chuppah, you think about the Hinnani Muchun Mezumen Lekayim Mitzvos Aseh of Shenemar V'ohavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, that love your neighbor like thyself. Acho Emesi Shelemaisa a chasan biyom chuposo, that a chasan on the day of his marriage, Yochol Omar bepemale, he's able to announce loudly and clearly bihislavos the kedusha, and he's able to finally say, "Hinani muchun umezumun lekayim mitzvos asheh shel vohavto l'reach kamocha." Until that point, until the point that you're under that chuppah, standing next to your future wife, one is never truly able to be mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of v'ohavto l'reach kamocha, love thy neighbor like thyself. It's only once that you're married, that you have a spouse, are you truly now able to fulfill the mitzvah of v'ohavto l'reach kamocha. And Amar Rabbi Akiva, ze klal gadol batorah. That's the klal gadol batorah. We want to be mekayim kol haTorah kula. Don't learn Shas, or don't only learn Shas. Be nice to your spouse. Appreciate her. Don't think about those ideas that she's not as frum as I am. Just imagine for a moment. Just think about the scene. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara that Sarah died. And it's juxtaposed to the Parsha before that about Akedas Yitzchak. And Rashi comes and tells us, V'nismecha misa Sarah la Akedas Yitzchak, that the parshios are juxtaposed because Sha'al Yedei Besuros HaAkedah, that the news of the Akedah that her son was about to be slaughtered, Parcha Nishmasa Mimena, her soul left her, Umesa, and she died. In today's day, someone with Negios would have said, this is the wife that I married. She couldn't handle sacrificing our son for Limud HaTorah. This is the person that I married? Sorry, Menu. This is my wife? She couldn't handle the fact that I was about to slaughter our child? She doesn't want to send her child away to yeshiva? This is what I got myself into? You get the point. You all understand what I'm talking about. Forget about the frumkeit. Forget about how frum they are. And of course, yes, when you're dating, you want to find someone that's compatible. And with davening and siyata d'shmaya, that person will continue to grow and develop with you. But when you're married, it's totally be. You got to make it work. Change our mindset. Change our focus. Give and continue to give. I just want to end off. I see that we're late and I apologize. I'm sorry. Michal Weissmandel put out a sefer called Ish Chamudos, essentially detailing stories throughout his time saving and helping Jews get out of Nazi Germany. And there was a certain family. The family was the Waltz family, the Waltz family, that had tried twice to escape Hungary. Until finally, him and his family had the opportunity to escape. And this Yehuda Waltz had come in contact with Rabbi Weissmandel. Rabbi Weissmandel told him that it's not possible for you to leave and escape until you receive a bracha, you bid farewell to the Nitra Rav. Yehuda just wanted to get out. Perhaps if he gets a bracha, it's going to make it a more successful, a more peaceful trip. So he makes his way to the Rav. Comes to receive a bracha, to bid farewell to the Rav. And the Rav tells him that before you go, there's something that you have to do for me. Rabbi Yehuda says, what is it? And the Rav says that there's a family that's trapped in Austria. And the only way that they can get out is if these papers and visas and affidavits are given to them that they can make their way eventually to Eretz Yisrael. And you're the guy that's going to get it to them. Rabbi Yehuda turns to the Rav and says, there's no possible way, I can't do this. I got to escape. I got to find freedom. Now's my chance. I can't risk it all for that. I'm going to risk everything. My life, my family, I can't do it. The Rav says, you do this, I'll give you a bracha that your trip will be a successful one. Rabbi Yehuda realizes he has no choice. So the Rav gives him his instructions. There's a certain doctor, an ENT specialist that he's going to go to. The doctor is going to put some drops into his ears that will not allow him to hear for 2 days. This doctor is going to walk with him to the Austrian border. He's not going to be able to hear anything. The doctor is going to say he's going for a special surgery, a procedure that will allow him to hear. And when he arrives in Vienna, in a secret hiding place in a church, you're going to put on a certain clothing that priests wear. You're going to hand these papers to these people, and then you're going to make your way to safety. And Kahavi, that's exactly what happened. He did exactly as he was told in order to save the life of that family. That's such a wonderful thing. And ultimately, when push comes to shove, I'm sure each and every one of us will do the same for that other family. We're always willing to help other families. We'll go out of our way to help other families. We'll help them. We'll learn with them. We'll guide them. We'll talk with them. But what about our own families? We're always willing to help others, give chizuk to others, be kind to others. Let us not forget that first and foremost, the kiyum of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is not only other families, but first and foremost, it's our own, and bifrat, and especially and specifically, our spouses. Thank you.